Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy brought to you every Friday night here on KCRW. And before we get on with this week's program, there is one class of people out there that I forgot to thank in thanking the people that made the 5 years here on KCRW possible, and that is, of course, you, the listeners, and especially you, the listeners that have taken the time to write and to send tapes, and to those that I neglected to reply to, I apologize, and just, you know, thank you all for being there. Now let's get on with this week's show. Oh, about 2 or 3 months ago, there was a star-studded comedy benefit. A galaxy of stars for the world of comedy came out for the second time to help the homeless, and it was called Comic Relief 1987. And it was carried on HBO and on basic cable, even for those people that weren't HBO subscribers. And I happened to be there in the backstage press area, which was really quite a chaotic scene. It was nicely chronicled by Lawrence Kristen in the LA Times, and with the exception of the fact that he said Steve Allen didn't come and meet the press, which, as you will hear in the course of this program, he did. He got just about everything right. And what it was there was this backstage area where the comics, after they went on, or in a few cases before they went on, came back to face the press, and it was really a motley crew back there. And, you know, one after another of these comics came back, and they didn't know what they were doing there. We ran out of questions to ask people an hour into this 3 or 4 hour event, and it's a pretty funny scene. The major event at Comic Relief, at least as far as I was concerned, was a reunion of Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, and their press conference was at least as funny, if not funnier, than their performance on stage. And you'll hear most of that here in the show, and you'll hear from Elaine Boozler and Bobcat Goldthwait and Louis Anderson, Catherine O'Hara, and Andrea Martin, Harry Anderson, Michael J. Fox, Bob Zamuda, who is the president of Comic Relief, Judy Tenuta, Rossinio Hall, Richard Belzer, and who else? Steve Allen, and possibly, if there's time, from Marcia Warfield. And it was a wonderful scene, and for the most part, I will edit out where the question is being asked, because the microphones didn't pick it up anyway. So you may hear some abrupt answers to questions that you didn't hear, but that's only because you wouldn't have been able to hear them anyway, even if I had left them on the tape. And I'll chop it up together, and most of these voices you will recognize, but where I think you might not, I will jump in, or where you need to be told what the question was, I'll jump in. But other than that, here are some highlights of my backstage adventure at Comic Relief. By the way, Comic Relief is a marvelous charity. I have cut out most of the places where they all talk about how sincerely they feel about helping the homeless. But indeed, they all did, and they all said so. It's a terrific charity in that HBO pays for all of the expenses, and so all of the money donated goes directly to the homeless. And at the end of the show, I'll give the 800 number, which is still active and which you can still use to help the homeless. And so let's get on. The first person that came out was actually the first person on stage, and her name is Elaine Boozler.
Well, yes, I'm an alcoholic. My name's Elaine, and... Oh, hello. I don't know anything, so... That's it. I'm done.
Who's the person here tonight you most wanted to see?
I wanted to see Buster Keaton, but he's late. He, This guy never shows. I go everywhere looking for this guy. He never shows up. And, well, please open your books to page 14, and, Hank, would you come up in the algebra? Yes? The feeling among the performers tonight? I think it's pretty much dog-eat-dog, and, I know that what I did was choose the best joke from every comic who was gonna come on tonight, and they're all frantically rewriting now, so... I think it's every comic for his, her, it's... No, I think it's a very nice feeling. I haven't seen most of these people in 5 years, so it's nice to come together for something that's a good cause and not that someone, you know, drove off the cliff. Pardon me? The feeling about going on first? I like it. I like it. It's great going on first. You know, when you're 40th, it's like, you know, you have a date with Hugh Hefner. What am I going to do that's different? You know, but by going on first, it was all virgin premises. It was wonderful.
Next out came Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, and the first question was, what did it feel like to get out there and do their same old routine all over again?
Well, it's such a pleasurable sketch to do. It's... I have to explain, it's one that Peter wrote when he was about 18, and then it shows.
And forgot tonight.
Yes. Anyway, It's fun to do the sketch, you know, especially the falling over, which we've added at the end. For some reason, I fell over tonight. Is there a problem with the playback? Am I not on mic? Is that better?
You can hear me, but not him.
Right. No, well, they are him. Is that better?
I can't hear anybody at all. That's right. I can't hear them either.
No.
How long
has it been between you and working
again? 11
years, I think.
Yes, it must be about 11 years, is it? Yeah. I suppose, in public, anyway.
In public.
Have you ever found anyone to be more annoying than Liza Minnelli?
More annoying than Liza Minnelli? I can't answer that. I don't understand it. I'm sorry. Okay, take this man out. More annoying? How do you mean? I don't understand. More annoying than Liza? I don't know. More annoying. I don't understand that.
Howard Stern.
No,
are you okay? Me, I don't write. Peter does.
Yeah, I do. I have a magazine in England called Private Eye, which comes out every 2 weeks, which has been going for 25 years. I still write for that and enjoy doing that. And I look forward to toppling world governments at the age of 108.
What was it like for the retaining? Was the timing still there?
No, it was all over the place.
Just completely gone. I would like to blame him, but I think it was Liza.
No, it was Howard Stern. Howard Stern.
Do tapes still exist of the television series you guys did in England?
Yeah, and we hope to release them on video.
Yeah, we're trying to compile them, trying to get the BBC to go into their bowels and hoik out these tapes that we did many years ago. I think it'd be great fun. There's some good stuff on there. It'd be nice to see. Yeah. Oh, the Derek and Clive tapes. Well,
what about the movie Derek and Clive?
Derek and Clive, the movie. Well, it is. If you search very hard, you can find it. It is out on video.
It is out on video in
the
England.
The United
certainly.
Kingdom. I'm not sure about here. Derek and Clive Get the Horn. It is called.
Derek and Clive Get the Horn is a very uplifting piece of work.
Will you be working together again at all?
No, this is the last time.
This is it.
This is when he has a heart attack in about 20 minutes' time. We can't work after that.
Do you know who Jackie the Joke Man is?
Jackie the who?
Jackie.
You're very ill. What, the Jackie the who?
Jackie the Joke Man Marley.
Yeah, he's very funny. I'm sorry, what was that?
At this point, there were a number of questions having to do with the sequel to Arthur, the film that Dudley Moore was in, which is being planned, and they may be about to start making it. And here's the tail end of that conversation.
As the man who wrote it, Andy Breckman, said, it has to make you laugh and break your heart at the same time, and I think he's done a terrific job. I'm really, really excited, as they say in this part of the world. I am, actually.
That really wonderful scene where I give the kiss of life to John Gielgud, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you think we've outstayed our welcome? I don't know.
What about a Beyond the Fringe reunion?
Yes.
That'll be the
yes.
Day.
I'd like to do it. I would love to do it, as a matter of fact, but we have maybe, shall we say, one recalcitrant member of the cast who won't do it. I know that Peter and I would do it at the drop of a hat. No, we wouldn't do a drop of the hat, but somebody falling into place, actually.
I think it'd be very nice to do, so...
Would you do it with new material or the same old stuff?
Same old stuff.
We'll do it with the same old stuff, thank you very much. Which has kept us in good stead for 25 years. If you think I shall think of something new after all these years, you're very much mistaken.
Yes, I was just saying.
It's a feat of memory to get the old stuff right without having to sit down and write new stuff. Good grief.
I mean, it was all I could do to fall over today. Blimey.
More questions again about Arthur led to this exchange when somebody asked if Arthur was going to have sobered up any for this movie.
No, he's still, you know, still arcs a bit now and again. I feel he's exempt from the normal moralities and stuff, which is why he's allowed to be pissed out of his head all the time.
Dudley, do you think it's an appropriate time to admit that you owe me at least 10% of the royalty?
Oh, that's true, yes, I did base it on
for 25 years, I gave him a clue about how to be from Drunkford.
It's entirely based on this man here, I have to admit. Yes, it's a complete copy. Word for word, almost. Somebody's creeping towards the stand. I think we've outstewed our welcome.
We should be off.
One more question, as if we're fighting them off. There's a couple of hooks.
Three and two with the five.
Yeah, one more question. I mean, really, I have to go.
Look, they're not even manning the cameras now.
People are opening hampers and eating sandwiches.
How quickly they forget.
Well, we haven't forgotten about Cook and Moore here on KCRW, and will, I'm sure, continue to play much of their wonderful work over the years. Next up on the stage was Bobcat Goldthwaite, who talked about the difference between his performance in last year's Comic Relief and in this year's.
Well, last year I did it, and I did it for purely selfish reasons. And this year I got involved a little more. And the other, I did it, and it was more like me going on Letterman or something, you know. So this year I actually went out to the shelters and stuff. I saw this money actually going to work, you know, and that's why I'm here, you know. It's either a great write-off for HBO or whatever, but for some reason they pick up all the money. So all the money goes to the people. You know, the money that we raise is a drop in a bucket, but if we can call any attention to, like, maybe, you know, some legislation changing, like, welfare reform or the fact that minimum wage is ridiculous. You cannot live on minimum wage. All these things. Film plans. I don't know. I've never been in a film. You know what that is. A film you go with a bunch of friends and there's subtitles. I make movies, you know, car crashes and explosions.
What about a record?
Yeah, I got a record coming out called Shaking Hands with Little Elvis. And I'm sure you'll all buy it.
This crowd will get it free.
Yeah, I know. You guys are the industry slime. You'll get a free one.
What's that album going to be? It's going to be like stage act?
It's singing. I'll sing it. No, it's a nightclub act. If I did one any earlier, it would have just been, you know, 30, 40 minutes of aga, aga, aga.
Okay, next, please welcome Louis Anderson.
Where am I, here? Oh, I guess that's in the way, isn't it? Which one? This one? This is where you can't get shot, huh?
I see you got your bowling shoes on today.
I have my bowling shoes on, because I got to go right to a big league match right now, right after this. For the home league. So. No, it's a pleasure to be doing this. It's been a lot of fun right straight through. It's kind of special for me because I have a brother who we haven't seen in about 10 years, and we don't know if he's homeless or missing or whatever, so I'm hoping that he'll see this or maybe be contacted somehow by it, and that's why it's a little personal for me. And it's also been a lot of fun to be, you know, part of something that this many comedians can get together and do.
Next up came Catherine O'Hara and Andrea Martin, two of the very talented stars of a terrific show called SCTV, and I asked them this question.
What about the two of you working together? Any more of that coming up?
Just tonight. Maybe next year, Comic Relief 88. I don't know. Be nice.
Yeah.
I guess it takes one of us to come up with an idea and actually get a deal and then ask the other person to work with us.
Do you miss the pressure of having to come up with ideas on a regular basis?
No, it's kind of nice. Although I should exercise my brain like I used
to. Yeah, I think that's what you miss, really.
Yeah, when we were doing a show like that, it's like everything that happens in the day, you're trying to think, okay, how can I use that? What can I do with that? And now I just, like, take it in, I don't think. So I'd like to be thinking that way, yeah. The scene that we did tonight is a scene that that we wrote for SCTV, in about 1977 or something, so it's about 10 years old, sorry. No, actually, well, when they call you to do something like this, it's unless you're, you know, you're a stand-up comic and you have, you know, repertoire of material, or you know, if we were working on something, but they asked us to do something together, and it's kind of hard to come up if you're not doing that every day.
It was either that or a soliloquy from King Lear, and we opted for this, didn't we?
We just, because there were so many requests for that piece, yes.
Can we hear a little bit of the Lear now?
Could we?
In an accent?
Sure.
Or did you?
No,
I mean.
Of course.
You know, I wish I knew some lines from it.
Romeo, oh, Romeo, that's what's
that's
that
Lear,
part.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's. Oh, we're leaving. Bye.
And then next up came the star of NBC's Night Court and a stand-up comic in his own right, Harry Anderson.
Hi, what's up?
You having a good time?
Fine. Nice talking with you guys.
You haven't dropped your pants again, I
hear. Huh?
You dropped your pants.
No, I got something else planned for tonight.
Show us.
Oh, you'll see it. It's coming up. No, up on the screen.
We don't get to see all of
that. Well, I'm not ready to show you now.
Will you be mutilating yourself at all tonight?
No, 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 no.
Are you through with that?
Oh, no, no, just for the night. I'm taking a night off on that. I'm not going to eat a guinea pig, and I'm not going to mutilate myself. It seemed inappropriate. Okay?
Did you get any flack from doing the...
I got a flack for eating a guinea pig on Saturday night, yeah. Little Skippy when I ate him, yeah. It was a little guinea pig. And I wrote to everyone and said, ounce for ounce, when it comes to nutrition, nothing beats Skippy. Oh, I didn't really.
Was Skippy,
boy, whew.
Was Skippy smooth, tough. Or was he chunky?
I think it was Bob Goldthwait who said that a guinea pig is like a hamster, except there's more dark meat.
And then next up came Michael J. Fox from Family Ties, and he was asked the difference between a comedic actor and a comedian.
They're courageous, and I'm smart. That's about it. I have people, you know, people we keep in cages and throw them meat, and they write me jokes, and I go out and do them. That's about it. It really is a matter of courage. They have more than me, and I have great respect for the comedians that are here tonight. And it's really funny. I mean, I was thinking tonight that, you know, that old thing that comedians probably get really tired of, but, you know, people saying behind every funny person there's a certain amount of pain. Well, if that is true, or indeed if it's not true, tonight, them all getting together to help relieve some pain is a very fitting situation, because perhaps if they are hiding pain to be funny, to make us laugh, they have an understanding, a unique understanding of people's troubles. Who knows? I don't know. But they're complicated people, and I'm not one of them, but I'm in awe of them.
And now up came Bob Zamuda, who's the president of Comic Relief.
How many Comic Reliefs are you planning on doing? Is this a long-range plan?
Well, you know, Billy Crystal said, as long as there's a homeless person, we're going to keep the 800 number going. We're very, you know, very surprised, and just we think it's just great that HBO has decided to make this like an annual event. So according to Michael Fuchs, you know, the top guy at HBO, he thought that this is something that should go on. It's not going to be solved overnight, you know, and there's no amount of money that we're going to raise that's even going to make any sort of dent into this problem. What we wanted to do is to have some effect. Last year we did 18 cities. This year, funding is going to 23 cities, and it's primarily for healthcare services. We feel it's tough enough if you're down on your luck or having some tragedy that makes you homeless. That's one problem. But to have a medical problem on top of that, man, is too much.
A real favorite in the press room, and I hope among those of you at home as well, was Judy Tenuta, who showed up in her beautifully sequined gown and carrying her ever-present accordion.
Oh. Hi, press hogs. Yeah, I could tell you were waiting for me, weren't you? Yeah, so I get to go on last. Pretty prestigious. I guess it really helped me to be in People magazine this week. Good. Huh, stud publicist? Look at this guy looking at me like, hey, Judy, I want you to carry my seed. Yeah, well, this isn't Iowa, okay? So what do you want to know? Just ask me.
How do you relate to the homeless?
I live in my parents' laundry room. No, I like them a lot. I like them because I feel superior to them. They're the... Do you mind? Can there be one segment of this population that I could look up to? No, I mean down on. Yeah. No, I think they're cute. I like... They're fashion plates, that's for sure.
How's the record doing?
Oh, real good. Thanks for bringing up a real pertinent issue.
I played it on the air.
No, it is. It's really good, isn't it?
It's
at least as good as a Bangles single.
How long have you been playing that?
I can't hear you.
How long have you been playing the concertina?
Since I was a petite embryo. It was my mom's. IUD, okay? Are you happy? Yeah. Okay, am I done? Okay, thank you so much. You go to sleep.
Then next up came the last host of Fox Television's The Late Show, and a guy who, I must say, won me over. I never thought he was that funny until I saw him at this press conference, and he won me over. Here's Arsenio Hall.
How much history more do you see late night for the rest of your career?
It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me, next to, like, my mom's support. It's wonderful. Late Show did something that no one else has ever done. Because they were so confused, they had tried over 20 hosts, they just wanted to go away and work on a new show. And they said, do this for 13 weeks while we work on a new show. And because of their disappointment in what had gone on, they said, do anything you want. Barry Sands said, let the show reflect you, I got stuff to do. And it's the first time anybody had let me be me. I was on solid gold for a year. Nobody knew who I was because didn't it create any attention? I was reading cue cards that some guy who lives in Pomona wrote. And I was like reading this, like, two guys walk into a bar, you know, and just, ladies and gentlemen, ABBA, you know. Nobody cared when I was myself. And you know what, it's weird because I took the show under the pretense that, I said, the only way I'll do it is if I can be myself for a change. I've been out here 7 years, and Cosby said something to me that changed my life. I was talking to Bill Cosby in Atlantic City, and he said, I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everybody. And I was doing everything that everybody wanted me to do. They'd say, be Byron Allen. I was Byron 1 week. Be T.K. Carter. I was T.K. Carter the next week. You know, I was, and if they, you know, I'd do anything because I had a condo. Basically, you're asking me, do I feel that I should be here basically because a lot of homeless people are black? Special responsibility. Can I be honest with you? The reason I'm here, I don't know what the percentage of black and whites are on the streets. I live in a very nice, artsy, wonderful neighborhood in West Hollywood. 500 feet from my condo, there is a bus stop and a bench, and there's a lady who lives on that bench in front of the Mayfair. Her toilet and her bathroom is behind the tree in front of the pharmacy there. When you leave to go do the Late Show every day in a limo, and you see this lady, you say, I don't want to give up the limo, I don't want to give up the Late Show, but I do know one thing, I have a responsibility through my success to do something. And it's weird because I've been living there since 84, and this directly relates to something I see all the time right there.
Then I had a chance to have a little personal chat with Richard Belzer.
You're at W.
Yeah.
My favorite thing in the world.
Well, there you go.
I can't live without it.
You do?
Really?
Well, I'm Bob Claster. I do a show called
Bob.
Funny Stuff.
Hi. Yes, I've heard you interview. You do great interviews.
Well, thank you.
I heard you do.
Now follow that up by asking you some really stupid questions.
No, I'm a fan of yours.
How was it out there?
Well, I felt that it was provocative, and that's what I wanted to do, because this is about the homeless, and I think if you can comedicize the event and still make a point, then that's my job. So I felt compelled to make some kind of political statement without being pedantic, but be entertaining.
You were out there, what, like 2 hours into the show or something?
Yes.
Does the crowd seem a little tired?
Well, I imagine that they're a bit weary. It is a lot of comedy, but they're pretty game. I mean, they've been holding up pretty good.
How much time did they tell you have?
I was told I had what I needed to do, which, you know, was 4 or 5 minutes, I guess.
Was it like the old days in the clubs where, you know, you were first going out there, or did you not do the club circuit?
I was
like,
born and raised in the club.
You got 5 minutes,
oh,
and the light's going to come on.
No, it's different than a club. These people aren't sitting at tables drinking, and, you know, it's this theater.
They know who you are.
And they know who I am, so.
Well, it was nice meeting you. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks for saying hello.
Sure.
Sorry, no.
Steve Allen.
Thank you for that very flattering introduction. You must have interviewed 800 people by now. What does one more mean? Nothing. I'll be running along. Hi. I love benefits. I suggested about 30 years ago, after getting bugged having to stop at a toll booth every 8 minutes on the Merritt Parkway in New York, that we should rip out all the toll booths and once a year go into Madison Square Garden and have a big benefit for the Merritt Parkway. So there are good ways to raise funds without going like that for quarters all the time. What about my books? Oh, the book is selling fine. At bookstores, of course. It's not doing too well in meat markets anymore. And sales at Midas Muffler have dropped off to nothing. But it's still doing very well in bookstores. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it's a book called How to Be Funny. I must go home and read it again tonight myself. Thank you very much.
And now all that there's time for is, to conclude, was a little piece from Marsha Warfield, who was also very, very funny.
Hi, how are you? So am I supposed to start talking or what? Start what? I just tried to find something funny, especially after the first two lines didn't go over. I went and did a little fast shuffle rifle through the old comedy material, and I also wrote things on my hand. I did half of them, I didn't do all of them. It's right there. What does it say? It says Prince and Southerners and names and somebody's mom. I did most of them. Well, yeah, I don't do a whole lot of homeless jokes, but there's certain things I find really amusing. I just find it strange, you know, that there's not like a homeless section, you know? I mean, it's not like they had somewhere else to go. I'm hoping to get an HBO special out of it. If you want to know the truth. That's right, the homeless box office. Chris, I'm hoping to get an HBO special. This is why I did it. Thanks so much. Gee whiz, oh boy. I'll work with Roseanne Barr. I don't care.
Everybody else is dark.
Why not? Why not me? I know Arsenio used to steal my material. And I beat the heck out of him one day and he finally stopped that crap. No. Arsenio, I've known Arsenio since I was a little girl and he was a grown man. My character on Night Court is deliriously funny and just a wacky kind of, I think I'm like the Black Eve Arden. About the role on Night Court, I was fine. I mean, I was real sorry about the circumstances. They lost two really great people that the cast was really fond of. And it was hard in that respect to go into the role. As far as being worried about something happening to me, I don't know. I think it was the best thing that could have happened. I never thought about it in a bad way. Yeah, I am, but it's with salt, you know. Not with steady income. Steady income is steady income, you know what I mean? That's it. Thanks a lot.
And there you go. That's our brief backstage look into the world of comic relief. We heard from Elaine Boozler, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, Bobcat Goldthwait, Louis Anderson, Andrea Martin and Catherine O'Hara, Harry Anderson, Michael J. Fox, Bob Zamuda, the president of Comic Relief, Judy Tenuta, Arsenio Hall, Richard Belzer, Steve Allen, and Marsha Warfield. And that number for donations to Comic Relief is an 800 number. It's 528-1000. Very easy to remember. 1-800-528-1000. And 100% of the money collected goes to help the homeless. Home box office pays for all of the expenses. And it is a very good cause. And 528-1000. And let's see. For the next 2 weeks, we will be preempted for KCRW's Fun Drive, which is another different sort of comedy. And we'll come back after that with a look at the courtroom comedy. The address here, if you want to write to me, is Bob Claster, C-L-A-S-T-E-R, at Funny Stuff, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. And if you can include a phone number, that's all the better. And I can get back to you in the afternoon sometime. And that's about it. So please support the fun drive. And until 3 weeks from now, don't forget to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it, especially if you listen to our fun drive. Bye-bye, everybody.